I'm calling the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting to order. The hour is 6:30 on March 8, 2016. A copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted outside in the hallway and on the floor at the back of the room. With that, quorum call, please.
Fred Conley.
Here.
Leahy.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
And Chairperson.
Here. Item four is the adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
And Chairperson.
Yes, I have here an affidavit of proof of publication of tonight's meeting, which will become a part of the permanent records. Now moving to item six is a review and recommendation on the West Papio Trail License Agreement. Eric Williams, please.
Good evening, directors. We acquired a former railroad corridor along the West Papio Creek, running from the current end of the trail at 108th and Giles up to 132nd and Q, roughly, where Harry Anderson Ave meets into the south side of Q Street. At the very northern end of this former rail corridor, the adjacent property owner is working on some development. Our rail corridor is 100 feet wide, and they have requested that they be allowed to use a portion of that rail corridor as a parking lot, which would be shared use for that development, as well as functioning as the trailhead for the future West Papio Trail, which would continue on the west side of Harry Anderson Ave up into this part of Millard. Directly across Q Street on the north side is the new Lumberyard District development that's going on. And so this trail would be something of a spur and would function as a direct connection from the Lumberyard District and the adjacent neighborhoods down along Harry Anderson and connect with the main line of the trail, which would be along the creek and continue down to, again, the current end of the trail, which is at 108th and Giles. Long-term, the trail would continue along the creek and connect over at 137th and Millard Ave, but this spur basically provides additional access to the very large amount of work that's going on and will continue to go on in the Lumberyard District. Do we have, let's see, the map for the project here? It'll be toward the last page. Page 15 would be good there. Yep. So here's the map showing the location that we're discussing. The width that's measured there at about a 45-degree angle, that's the 100-foot width of the former railroad corridor that the district purchased for use specifically for the West Papio Trail. And that runs all the way up to the south side of the public right-of-way on Q Street and along the west side of Harry Anderson Ave up to that intersection. The shaded portion there is intended to be the parking spaces and then the access to Harry Anderson Ave for the neighboring property to the west, which you can see is currently a former gas station building. As the development here was moving forward, Public Works requested that in order to improve safety at this location, some of the access points on the former gas station building be closed and curbed off, essentially, and that an access to Harry Anderson Ave be included instead of the multiple points onto Q Street. So this is essentially a traffic safety improvement for the new property, and the way to get to Harry Anderson Ave from that property is across that portion of the district's right-of-way. Again, it's about 100 feet wide. In discussing with the City of Omaha Parks Department, generally, if you're going to build a trail at the back of a curb, you would do something up to a 10-foot setback, a 10-foot width of trail, and then 10 additional feet for some landscaping on the inside of the trail. And that's what's shown in this drawing. I think it might be maybe a 6-foot setback, and then the 10-foot trail, and 10 feet to the edge of the parking lot. So the license agreement is to allow the adjacent property owner the right to construct a parking lot, as well as this section of trail, which is the other hashed portion along Harry Anderson and the south side of Q, and then to maintain that parking lot as both their parking for their building as well as the trailhead for the trail in this location. This property is protected by the Trails Act, which helps to enshrine corridors of former railroad right-of-way specifically for trail purposes. So we had to go through some federal logistics in order to acquire this right-of-way, which means that we can't outrightly sell either fee title or give an easement over the property. And so a license in order to use this portion of the property was described as the best option in order to help get this accomplished. So the license is attached here, and our legal counsel and legal counsel for Quest Properties reviewed this, and we've come to some good agreements. The district will have full review on both the preliminary and the final plans, which should look basically like this, just to make sure that the trail construction in this location meets the expectations that we have, as well as the expectations for the Parks Department, because Omaha will take over operations and maintenance of the trail after we construct it on the rest of the right-of-way. So we'll have two additional points of review and approval before construction happens here. This does not include any money either direction. It's just saying that they are authorized to construct this portion, which is to the benefit of both parties. So we spent a little bit of time, again, like I said, back and forth with the legal counsel on both sides, and we think we've got a good agreement that will meet everyone's needs and will help us to complete the trail in this location, as well as providing that that access over to Harry Anderson.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
Okay, Chair, to entertain a motion on this item.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Directors?
Director Keyser. Do we anticipate being asked for any money for this project?
I'm sorry, being asked for money?
Yes. Do we anticipate being asked for funding to partially help fund this?
The trail construction, you mean?
No, the parking lot.
No. The parking lot will be constructed as the property is developed, because it will be the significant portion of the parking required by building code for that new building. And so in talking with the legal counsel for the property owner, they intend to move forward on this, get construction moving, and no, they will not be asking for funding from us for construction of that portion of the trail there.
Patrick?
Do we or the city or the property owner have any plans for some kind of sign, or maybe like bright yellow or red paint where that trail crosses the little turn into the parking lot? Because my fear is, you know, someone's just biking around, and you know, sometimes people are just cruising in on a right or left turn, you know, looking both ways when they're just going to go into a parking lot to a gas station.
The City of Omaha Public Works Department is not generally in favor of paint. However, this is on private property, essentially. And so if we wanted to coordinate with the construction plans here to include some paint across that, that could be done and reviewed out of the preliminary or final design. Painted access is not currently common at trail crossings, other than the 2-foot-wide white parallel bars indicating the crosswalk, essentially. That's what was just done on the Midlands Trail in Papillion, but we could look at an additional indication.
Painting or sign, it just seems like, just knowing Harry Anderson Drive, that there's a safety issue that could happen there.
Sign the trail. It's one of the reasons City of Omaha Parks and Public Works need to approve this plan, and they'll use their standard, I don't know, maybe it's a stop sign on the trail. I'm not sure. They'll use their standard signage on what's necessary for safety. We're counting on them.
I've got a question. What are the plans to the southeast from the end of this parking lot?
The 100-foot width of the corridor there is essentially clear all the way down to basically 108th and Giles. There's a couple small crossings, culvert crossings. And so the plan is to construct the trail basically in the same location as the rail bed. A lot of the rock material is still there, even though the rails and ties themselves were removed. So the plan is to basically take a straight shot from 108th and Giles along the rail corridor under Harrison, under the interstate, and land right up here. That would then provide access to the entire southern half of the West Papio Trail to everybody up here, leaving one final phase along the creek under 132nd, under Q, and tying into the existing northern part of the West Papio Trail. So this would be the next phase, I guess you would say. We did budget some funding for design of that portion of the trail this year, but some other projects have taken priority up to now. So we do intend to move forward with that probably design next year and maybe construction the following year, depending
on... Do we have the right-of-way?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that, again, is why the license agreement is needed, is because the maintenance of the right-of-way is somewhat tricky for the Trails Act, and we would not like to trigger any additional federal review or oversight.
Well, I mean the right-of-way to the southeast beyond this point. Do we own that also?
Mm-hmm. Continuous all the way to the existing trail end.
Thank you. Did I see Director Thompson's hand?
Yeah. You said a building. According to the sketch, it looks like it's all parking. But in the southwest little arc there, is that where a building is going to go?
On the west side, on the northwest, you can see there's kind of a octagon-shaped green roof. That's the existing building. Does anybody have a laser?
Is that Bucky's?
Let's see.
It's closed.
This right here is a former gas station that is currently closed.
Oh, okay.
And so this is the location for the essentially the redevelopment. And that's not on district property. Only the parking portion is on the district right-of-way.
According to the map, the sketch curls around to go west on Q. But our property only goes up to Q. Is that correct?
Our property is the dashed line here, and it actually does extend this direction continuously, but this shows the property in question here. And so there is a section here where the trail, this is public right-of-way, and the license agreement does require that approval from Parks and Public Works for construction of the trail in public right-of-way is also finalized prior to beginning this, so that it will be continuous across the back of curb.
There will be no building infringement on our property.
No, this license does not allow for a building of any kind, and that would probably not be a very good idea because of the type of the agreement. I think that they know that building on lands you don't own is probably not a good idea.
Right. Any other questions or comments? Director Jeff.
Approximately how many acres or how much land are they wanting to build the parking lot on? That's ours.
Dave, is that in the...
500?
About 35,000 square feet.
A little less than an acre.
Yeah. On the other side. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that's the page right before this, I think 14, should have the legal description.
Okay. Why it can't in this, I understand your comment, you can't put an easement or sell it, but why can't this license agreement have them paying a fee for what the value of that less than an acre's worth?
It could. The construction of the trail through this area and the construction of the trailhead is beneficial to the purpose of the trail through here. So the agreement is essentially that they will be allowed to use the parking for their facility as long as they also construct the trailhead, which we would have otherwise been constructing there.
Right. But and the trail gets constructed as well at their cost.
And it does require them to construct the trailhead. It's not an option. It's the consideration for this agreement is their construction of those portions of the property.
And do we have an estimate on what that cost would be?
I don't think we do. No. I guess I have an estimate.
The parking lot's about $100,000.
I'm not interested in the parking lot. I'm interested in the trails.
And the trails are
about
$15,000.
$15,000?
On the order of $15,000. Okay. So I'm assuming the ground is, could the ground be worth $100,000 for this little less than an acre?
We don't have a formal appraisal, so I guess you don't know.
Yeah.
We don't have a formal appraisal, so you don't.
The potential value is pretty significantly, significantly hindered by the exclusive purposes for which a Trails Act protected corridor can be used. So we will maintain responsibility for the corridor per the Trails Act guidelines with the explicit intention of using this for a trail. Other uses can also occur here, but it must be a trail. And so it's not really, like John said, we don't have an appraisal value to build.
So
it looks like to me, and I'm just throwing numbers out here, we have a $100,000 parcel of land which somebody's willing to pay $15,000 to build the trail in. It looks like to me the taxpayers are losing in this deal. where if we have them buy it and we build the trail, but in a lease agreement, we're going to save money for the taxpayers.
Would you say again what you said about leasing and so forth? Repeat that, please.
Under the National Trails Act, mm-hmm. which this is part of, we can only build a trail on this property. Mm-hmm. It requires the Surface Transportation Board, which is a board that sits in Washington, D.C. We have to apply to them to change anything about sponsorship of this particular parcel of land. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the value of the land as in like a typical appraisal, that would be impossible here, because the only thing it can be used for is the purposes of the trail. If we use it for any other purposes, we potentially avoid the authorization given by the Surface Transportation Board and lose ownership of the parcel.
But we can add to the lease agreement that they pay us $50,000.
No.
Oh, yes, you may.
Do you want to?
I'm the attorney for the licensee. My name is Jennifer Woodward.
Please identify.
Yeah, identify your firm, please.
My name is Jennifer Woodward. I'm the attorney for the licensee. My firm's Laughlin, Peterson, and Lang. In addition to constructing the trail, they're also constructing, it's going to be a shared use parking lot that's open to the public, and also they'll be putting a lot of landscaping in, and it's all subject to approval, and so we're going to be working together. So there will be, I think, a lot of benefit to the NRD, because those are things that you would probably have constructed.
Right. Yep, we would have been doing that anyway, so the benefit to us is that they are doing the construction in this location, which we otherwise would have had to do.
Well, here's the problem with throwing out numbers, which we deal with this all the time, it seems like. The simple fact is we're getting a trailhead and a trail built for the public at no cost to the public, that you guys are footing the bill. And this is public-private partnerships, how it's done. So when you talk about saving taxpayer money, we just saved the taxpayers from building a trail segment and a trailhead. So that's a pretty good deal. So when you start throwing out numbers without having any factual basis to throw those numbers out, then you create confusion and it causes a little bit of an issue. So the facts are, these fine people are going to build a trailhead and a parking lot for their business, which is free enterprise, and a trail for the public use at no cost to the public. So I think the numbers work out pretty clear. At least in my opinion.
Are you done, Jim?
Yes.
I have a question for Eric. Is any signage by the developer of that site to the west allowed on this our property?
We'd have to look back in the agreement to verify that one way or the other. There will be a trailhead sign.
Other than the trail, any commercial signage allowed on there? If that's a restaurant or whatever it's going to be, is there any signage going to be on the...
It is subject to approval. Any signage, are we allowed to put signs on it? But any signage that does go on this particular parcel is subject to approval by the district and in coordination with the licensee.
Thank you. Other questions or Director Frost?
Is there any chance that there might be a bus stop shelter put on this in the future?
I haven't heard that.
I haven't seen a bus go on Q in ages. I don't know if there's even a service on Q Street.
I don't think so. We don't know.
Is it growing?
Yeah, we
know.
Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And following up on your suggestion for a sign, I kind of get the idea that it'd be a nice LED sign saying, "Happy NRD Trail, thank you very much. Oh, by the way, whatever commercial thing this is going to be," I mean, it could be a joint thing. So I'm kind of looking forward to a nice big electronic sign on the western edge there saying, "Brought to you by the Happy NRD." So thank you for the idea.
Okay. Any other comments for the good of the order? We have a motion on the floor, do we not? Roll call on the motion, please.
Peter.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
Lady.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes. Thank you. Moving now to the next item on the agenda, which is a review and recommendation on the Danielle Trail amended and restated interlocal agreement. Again, Eric Williams, please.
This is another trail project. This one is down in the city of Bellevue on the edge next to Sarpy County. In fiscal 2015, we reviewed and you approved a Trails Assistance Program cost share for Sarpy County for the construction of what's called the Daniel Trail in their master plan. That terminology is not used in the agreement that you have here, but that's what it's referred to at, in the Bellevue Trails Master Plan. That project was originally put out to bid, and we did not have competitive bidding. So you can see that the original engineer's estimate was $428,000, and we received only one bid at $895,000. And this is a collaboration between the district, Sarpy County, City of Bellevue, and then three SIDs, 171, 186, 215. And all of the partners agreed that paying more than double was not in the best interest of completing the project. We took things back, reevaluated. The engineer did look at the estimate again and came up with a new number based on the original bidding. We were more aggressive in seeking bids the second time around, and we had several responses, I think maybe six responses during the second round of bidding. And the low bid was $637,000, so much closer to the estimate, but still slightly over. In order to get this project accomplished with what all partners agreed were competitive bids, there was some additional cost which would be shared between all of the partners to the original interlocal. So everybody has worked together to determine the increase in share for each of the partners, essentially based on the initial interlocal agreement. And you can see that the district's original share was $125,000, again, in the Trails Assistance Program in fiscal 2015. That was carried over for construction. Design was 2015, construction was 2016. Rebidding happened towards the end of 2016 here, but is on pace to move forward before July. The interlocal said that we would contribute our funding to Sarpy County for them to carry forward with construction at the beginning of the project. So the update to the interlocal now includes the increased funding from each of the partners, as well as an updated timeline, still indicating that we would contribute the original $125,000 at the start of construction, and that we would then contribute the remaining portion out of our fiscal 2017 Trails Assistance Program budget as the trail construction completed. So this represents an increase in cost. And other partners have also agreed to increase their contribution towards this project. You can see if you, let's see.
Page two in the back.
There. Yep. Scroll down to two more pages, please. The second page on the bottom paragraph there. There you go. There's several little bullet points almost. There's a breakdown of the contributions from each partner. Since this is a little more, there you go. Since this trail is largely in the city of Bellevue, the city is contributing the largest portion of the total cost, so they're contributing $296,000 as their updated share. The NRD is the second sponsor. $184,000 would be the updated figure. The county, and then the three SIDs. And everyone has increased their contribution to get this project completed because it is a connection to the main branch of the trail system on the Big Papio. You can actually flip back two pages to the map. Sorry, I should have pointed that out earlier. And then zoom out a little bit so we can see the whole area. So there's an existing trail down to the southwest, which will be upgraded through kind of the creek area and the lowlands between some of the SIDs, and then new trail will be constructed on the east side of 25th Street, north, connecting to a wide sidewalk around, and if you scroll up just a little bit, the very northern portion connects to an existing trail on, I think it's Lightwood Drive, and then that connects directly over to the main branch of the trail. So this provides significantly increased access to all three of these SIDs and other people in the area to get up to the main branch of the trail, which is why all six of the partnering organizations feel that it's a priority to get this completed with the competitive bid that we have received with the additional funding. The City of Bellevue has reviewed and approved the additional funding for their contribution, Sarpy County has reviewed and approved their funding as well, and the SIDs, their lawyer indicated that they were moving forward with resolutions for each of their boards, but I think they may have been approved by this time as well. So we are essentially the last partner to just approve the updated interlocal to see the project completed.
Okay, Chair, and entertain a motion on this item.
Motion to move staff recommend.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Director Thompson?
Is this, and I think you mentioned it, but it does make a connection, like we're always talking about connecting these trails. This is a nice connection, a vital connection that.
Yeah, the north end along that back of curb, a wide sidewalk portion at the top does connect over to an existing connection up to, I believe it's Cornhusker?
Linwood?
I'm sorry, Capehart. Capehart is directly north on the on your map, and so you can see just next to the north arrow there, Capehart Road is running horizontally. And the main line of the Keystone Trail is just down three or four more blocks on Capehart Road.
Okay.
Kind of in the northeast corner. So, again, yeah, this is specifically to provide access to that main branch of the trail for all of these people up to West Papio and Keystone.
Cool. Thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Director Pease.
Curious, what engineering firm gave us the initial bid?
I think that was ENA. Yeah, they were doing the design work on the trail. And I think that there's some potential level of uncertainty, and also we were bidding it not necessarily the optimal time originally. I think the original bid might have been last May, and so when we got the bids back, we only got one response, and it was not particularly competitive. So the thought was we need to rebid, and that was carried out in, I think, November of this year. So there were more responses. They were more competitive. People were trying to book work for 2016. And so we had several bids. A couple of them were very, very close, right at that same dollar amount. So it was a much more competitive second round of bidding.
Other questions or comments? Seeing none, roll call on the motion, please.
Thompson.
Yes.
Brett
Conley. Aye.
Lady.
Yes.
Peter.
Yeah.
And
yes. Moving ahead to item 8 is a review and recommendation on the Big Papio Levee Culverts Project. Martin Cleveland, please. And Mike Sotak. He's going to miss Mike.
He's about to sit back down.
Yeah, this is like rerun time, Groundhog Day or whatever. We, as you know, we bid this project last December. Bids came in high, so we rebid it again this month, and the bids were essentially the same. Range from 1.9 to 2.7 million, and engineer's estimate is engineer's opinion of cost is 1.1 million roughly. So the lowest bid came down about 30,000-40,000 from where it was last time, but same bidders, essentially they bid the same way they bid the first time. Obviously we've got some problems here. The engineer's estimate is considerably 800,000. Less than the lowest bid, so we think we got to do something different in order to get better bids. And so, what I'd like to do is have maybe Mike kind of go through the recommendation letter, which is I think it's the next item, Bill. Kind of explain the options that exist out there and where we like to go with this from this point. At the very bottom of the letter is kind of where it starts. The right there, yeah. If you can get 1 through 5 would be ideal if you can get those all in the same thing. But if not, maybe 1 through 2.
Yeah, I guess just a brief recap is when we bid the project the first time. We had a lot of interest. The project bid between Christmas and New Year's, December 30th, I think this project bid. There was two other entity projects that bid that week as well. Well, one, the Little Papio project, and then the Corps of Engineers had a similar project that they were doing with you. So we kind of chalked it up to we had a pre-construction meeting here, probably had 12 contractors, all of them seemed interested, said they were bidding the project, and then we got two bids. And obviously the bids were high. So then after that we talked to a lot of the contractors that didn't bid the project, that held plans and indicated they were going to bid the project, and they said their biggest complaint was that the time frame in which to complete the project, which was about 10 weeks, 50 working days, wasn't enough. It was right in line with what we had seen similar projects done down in Lincoln, et cetera. And so We thought it was pretty close. But the problem is that the types of contractors that are bidding this are not the same ones that are bidding some of the other projects going on. The channel work, the Elkhorn River project that we got going on, Arnell came in significantly underbid. So the grading contractors seem to be still fairly competitive. The problem is the utility contractors. They're all very busy with CSO work, the Council Bluffs Interstate System project. The city of the Council Bluffs has a lot going on. And what I hear from all of them is that they're having trouble getting quality bids. And that's transferring all the way down to Lincoln, because if you look on the interstate, you see a lot of Lincoln contractors coming to Omaha right now to do work. So it's just it's a tough time to do what we would say utility work right now, pipe work, rehabilitation work, you know, the guys that do that type of work right now. So after talking to them, they all said, you know, we're just super busy. We don't have the time to get this project done. So what we did is we extended the second bid. We extended the working days from 50 to 95. We came here to you to talk to you. And of course, that takes additional engineering time to be out in the field with them if they're going to take more time to do it. So we came here and talked to you about that ahead of time. And then we had a pretty big conference. We called every single contractor that had any interest in this project, and it was that, you know, utility-type contractor we felt would provide a good bid. A lot of them expressed interest. We had the big pre-bid conference. The same two contractors showed up. We called, got three other contractors, told us they were going to submit a bid. They just couldn't make the pre-bid conference. We got the same two bids. So it's a little frustrating. I don't want to be here right now having this discussion, but we are, unfortunately. So, again, talking to a lot of contractors, again, after the last bid, why did you bid the project? Well, since the first bid and the second bid, we picked up two jobs. Since, you know, there's so much work out here. And Martin and Marl and I had a long discussion with the contractors at the bid opening, and they said, you know, we're just busy. You don't get this job, we get another one. It doesn't matter. They're not worried about work right now, and that isn't conducive to a good bidding environment, similar to what you saw in the trail bid, I guess. So what we've done now is, you know, talking to most of the contractors, what we're hearing is, you know, if this was this fall, it would be different. But I've got 4 or 5 solid months of work in front of me right now. The under contract, I can't commit to this. Because right now the specifications say when you start this project, once you're issued notice to proceed, you have to be on site within 30 days, and then you have 95 days to complete the project. So what they're saying now is, you know, I've got several months ahead of me. So the goal now is to discuss one of the options is to discuss rebidding it again and extending the time period. That was kind of the goal. So with that, talking to management staff, we put together 5 options for this that are in the letter there. Number one, you have the option, of course, to accept the low bid from Emmy Collins and construct the project for the low bid amount. Number two, reject all those bids and rebid that project again, where we extend the contracting time to a year. So they don't have to begin right away, but they still have to, once they start, they still have to get the project done within a 95-day period. So that would allow them to finish up work they have under the books, on the books right now, and then start the project a period from now. Number three, we talked about whether there'd be any benefit to dividing the project work type from the installation versus the slip lining as 2 separate projects. We also talked about 4 would be a combination of 2 and 3 above, and then 5 rejecting all the bids and postponing the bridge project to a later date and with a bid climate change. So real quick running through them, one of the things about number one is it's my opinion that you didn't get a good bid. You know, our bid estimate was based upon prices we've seen in Lincoln, prices we've seen regionally, locally. The bid estimate may not be perfect, but it's not horrible. It's still a reasonable engineer's estimate. It's the bidding climates that's doing this, not a bad engineering estimate, I can promise you that. Number two, I think, is our best bet if we want to try to rebid this project now. And the reason that makes sense is that we don't know when the bid climate is going to change, if it's going to change. And going back to number one real quick, one of the things that worries me a little bit is that this is the first time you've issued a contract like this, and you've got a lot more similar work coming up. And so to establish high bid prices and say the NRD is willing to pay these high bid prices that are above what other contractors are paying elsewhere and other cities are paying elsewhere, to me, sets a bad precedent for you for a long-term project that's going to have a long-term rehabilitation effort you're going to have on your levies that's going to cost you a lot in the future, in my opinion. So with all the above, I think this is nobody wants to do this, and I don't think it's in the NRD's best interest to continually postponing bids, rejecting bids and rebidding them. But in this case, I think, you know, if you were talking about a 20%, 15% difference like you were on the last project, that's one thing. This is significant dollars. And again, my crystal ball isn't perfect. I got feedback from the contractors last time that led us to believe that we should have gotten better bids last time. We didn't. The feedback we're getting now is that if they have some time to finish up their current workload, we're going to get more. So that's the plan right now. That's what my recommendation is in the letter. We will work diligently to continue working to call contractors, keep them involved in the process, make sure they understand this, and make sure that the time frame works for them. Most of them are telling us that they need 3 or 4 months. They need the summer. And so this allows them to secure work that they could start in the fall. This is better fall-winter work, to tell the truth anyway, because the risk of flooding is less when you're working inside the levee system. So the timing right now is very good, I think, to try this. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I think we ought to get a motion on the floor, and then we'll do questions, answers, and so forth. Someone care to make a motion?
Make a motion that number 2 be chosen. And option number 2.
Staff recommendation.
You're approving the recommending the staff recommendation.
Yeah.
Second.
And there's a second by Director Fred Connell. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none. Okay, directors. Director Jeff.
I can only verify what Mike said. Contractors are busy. I mean, most contractors we're already booked up and till October already, so I really don't know what we can do, because right now this particular year the construction climate is full board and we haven't seen this in probably since before 08.
What's the urgency of even doing it? Why don't we just hold off a year or so? Could this wait?
The problem is, and it's in Mike's letter, maybe go back to the letter, second page, but essentially what's happened is 2015 we were given a letter by the Corps of Engineers with an inspection analysis of all of our structures, all of the drainage structures. And we have basically of these 13 structures, we have at least, I think, 11 of those that are called unacceptable. And what that does for us is basically the Corps, once a year they inspect these projects, and so once a year they get an opportunity to write us a letter basically saying, your project either in our program or not in our program, and if we get out of the program, we've lost our insurance policy on that project, which basically means if we get a flood event, levee's over top, let's say the levee washes out, the Corps will help us 80% or 20% money to fix that levee. If we're not in the program, we're 100% NRD money. So it's kind of we're running the risk of, it's kind of like having your house not insured. Basically, you run the risk of not having the fire. You hope you don't have a fire, and if you do, you're in trouble. We think if we were making an honest effort here to get this thing under construction, which means maybe give them a year of construction here, Corps would be willing to maybe back off of trying to kick us out of the program, but we think we don't do that. Let's say next summer we show evidence of not moving ahead with this project, Corps is going to say, you're out of the program, because we have 11 structures roughly that have, bottom of these pipes are basically gone, and so they're perforated. Levee's kind of in jeopardy when that happens because water can go flow around the pipe, flow underneath through the levee basically, not through the pipe, but through the levee and then undermine it. So during a flood event, you could essentially lose part of your levee because the pipe is the conduit for water. So that's the urgency, and there was, like I said, it was referenced a little bit in Mike's letter, but if it wasn't for that, we'd probably hold off a year or two and just, you know, but it's the condition of the pipes and also the core requirements we get these things fixed. So
thank you. I'm glad to get this into the recorded
sure.
record. Director Leahy.
When it comes to number 2 and pretty much allowing them any time within a year to start, what does that do to sort of planning for our budget purposes? Because that can mean that the goes into next year's budget cycle, mm-hmm. and we could have been using that money. I mean, just as contractors have a backlog of work, we have a backlog of projects that we would like to do. So are we able to, in this contract, say yes, but if you get started right away because the project fell through of yours,
we would like to pay you next year because we can allocate these funds to another budget this year.
We've got budgeted for this year, correct?
We budgeted roughly $1 million this year.
So if they don't start until the next fiscal year, those would just carry over. Now, if they did start before July 1st and we submitted bills, we obviously have the ability to pay them for their work. We've got it covered.
With a late April bid date, assuming that things are, we get a good bid and the bids would be approved in March, you know, you got a month of bonding and contracting to get together. Approved at the May meeting, and they don't get started until early June. You're never going to receive a pay request until, you know, after July 1 FY17 anyway. So there's not much of a chance of you spending any construction dollars in FY16 this year anyway.
Are we able to take some of what we budgeted this year to put into some of the other projects that we have ready to go and then rebudget it for next year?
That's up to the board. I mean, we can. If there's an emergency or if we need something, we can. If it's not covered in the budget or we want to do something, we've got those. Yeah, that would be then just transferring funds.
Then just rebudget this one.
Yeah, next year.
Good suggestion.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Mike, I have kind of chuckle. I heard you say, "I promise you that." When you're referring, you know, I heard Donald Trump say that's why.
He's no Donald Trump. Roll call, please.
Fred Thomas.
Aye.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Shepard.
Yes. Now moving to item 9, a review and recommendation on Little Papio Creek Channel Stabilization Project. This is West Center Road, 68th Street, change order number 1 and contract amendment number 1. Martin Cleveland.
Okay. Let me first show you a few photographs and kind of get an idea of where this is at and also what's happened to date. They're at the very end of this series of... go back a couple slides to the location map. There we go. Let's see if I can get this thing to work here. West Center Road is near the top of this slide. Mercy Road, 72nd Street. The UNO Baxter Arena is over here. This is the new bridge across the Little Papio Street, 67th Street, I think it's called. This is 68th right here. The slough area is basically right here, and then there's a new scarp that kind of formed right below it. And so I just want to kind of show you the location and then a few slides. Next slide. So they started work in the middle of February, and they completed the initial work, and this is the when they were under construction. The bike trail is actually here, and here's the West Center Road. They put in these 20 rock-filled trenches, and each one of these stakes is a trench. And so it's kind of dark, it's hard to see it. But riprap was actually done at this time, and they were starting to do the trench work. The scarp we're going to be talking about tonight, the change order is right down here. It's the initial stage of a slough, basically. Next slide. This is an installation of how they were installing the rock. They actually had a geotextile, and they placed a rock inside a geotextile and then wrapped the geotextile around it, basically a kind of burrito. This is to serve as a structural aspect in the slough and also to provide relief of seepage, which is causing the slough to start with. There's high groundwater table here, roughly 15 feet above the bed of the stream. Again, each one of these stake lines was actually one of the trenches. And so they completed the first 269 feet of this. Next slide. And this is, I believe it was last week. There's a date on it, actually February 22nd. But again, the new area is right here. It's a fissure just starting. And so rather than coming back in a year and saying, well, we need to fix this section, we think it makes sense to do a change order and fix it now. Have this contractor, he's on board, he understands how to do the work, and he can, you know, he's shown that so far he's did a good job. And so I think it makes sense to issue a change order to do that. And so the first part of this package tonight is would be a change order, and that is to cost. Let's go back to where the change order is at, Bill. Okay. To scroll down another slide or two. There you go, right there. The change order amount is $45,928, I think. It's kind of hard to see. 926. That's over the 10% that's management's allowed to do change orders. So anything over 10% requires board action, so that's why we're here tonight. So roughly that change, 45,000 of 173,000 is roughly 27% is of the initial value. The change orders for doing an additional 5 of these rock trenches to cover the additional 75 feet as well as riprap at the base of that slope. And so in talking to our consultant HDR, who's Lori Kretz with HDR, is here tonight. It's a side note, they negotiated this, and they actually had a deduction for the fact we didn't do quite as many trenches. After they got into this, they realized there was the numbers were higher than they should have been, so we actually had a credit of about 9,000. So there was 9,000 cut off the initial change order. The second half of this picture tonight is obviously this requires a little more additional work by HDR because you have to do another week of inspection. And there's just some plan changes and so forth, and that is what we call a contract amendment. Maybe go down to that slide, if you could, Bill, where that, let's see, it's down a couple more slides probably, a little more, getting closer. it's next slide would be the one. Change orders for 12,000. This is an amendment, actually, for $12,730. This, again, is for inspection time, primarily inspection time, but also some design and also some related project management. So we'd recommend that you approve tonight these two items, the one of which is change order and also the contract amendment, number one. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have on this.
Chair, entertain a motion on this item.
So moved. Yeah. Recommendation.
Second. And I have a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Director Thompson.
So, yeah, how many fingers did you install in the first phase?
They put 20 in, and so now we're putting 5 in this time.
Another 25%.
Yeah, it's.
And looking at the numbers, is that reasonable?
It's reasonable. One thing that kind of factored into this a little bit is when they did the initial three fingers or three rock trenches, they ran into a lot of concrete rubble. And that's right adjacent to where we're doing the SCARP. So there's a fear that the contractor has he's going to run into rubble that's going to go for 75 feet, which means he's got to over excavate it, put it off the side, put dirt back in. So it's like double the work. And so we hope it doesn't happen, but. The three trenches next to where he's working did have that issue, and it's whoever buried it years ago.
So, and HDR's change of 12,730, is that, I mean, the original agreement had to do with design and borings and all that sort of thing, so.
Right. This is on top of their initial 134,754, right. Which included a bunch of things, but surveying includes surveying, geotechnical investigation, design.
So did you do the math as far as breaking that out? Another 5 more fingers, and that's reasonable?
I didn't. I didn't actually calculate that one. I did look at the change order percentage, but we agree it's probably a little bit on the plus side, but it was close enough. I think the consultant felt it was comfortable. With the fact that there was a little bit of fear factor there because it was rubble that we think may be there. Typically contractors don't give you a discount.
They do borings on the new area, right? They have to do all that, or
there's no additional borings. Okay. Just they're using the same design concept on the next 5. They're looking at what actually is where the slough is occurring, the fissure or the crack, and they're just adding 75 feet of additional length to the project to. Address what we know is going to be a slump because it's already cracked. And so the cracking stage is the first level, and then it drops down, and then it slides in the creek. So we're catching it before it actually gets worse, which is good.
Okay. So, thank you. What makes you think that you've gotten them all? What's the next 50 or 100 feet up the creek going to be?
As far as this location going up the creek?
Right.
We actually, the upper end of this was, we did a test trench above the first one, and it was all stable. So we think we're okay up to Center Street. Now, having said that, we have slough areas all throughout the little patio that we need to fix, and there are different locations. But we think this spot is pretty stable. There is, as part of the 67th Street Bridge project, they did a lot of work, too. So that area has been stabilized by the bridge construction. So then we think we're pretty stable from the bridge up to Center Street. But, again, we have probably 10 other locations like this we're going to be doing in the next couple of years that we need to fix. And we're going to probably use a concept like this if it works out. It went pretty well. The contractor, once they got how to get the first trench two done, the sequence was pretty quick, and it's fairly inexpensive compared to some other techniques we could use like sheet piles. So we think it holds a lot of promise for future sloughs in the little patio.
You mentioned the contingency of running, that they're going to run into rubble down there. Is there some way you can bid that as a unit price if they do, and so that we benefit from any savings if they don't?
I think in the future we might look, when we do this project, actually bidding on a unit like ton basis, and you'd have a bid item possibly for removal of stuff. You know, this was a lump sum, so it's kind of hard when you have a lump sum contract. It's hard to negotiate additional work because it's lump sum. But if we would have bid this on a per yard basis or something like that, then it's easier to kind of, you get kind of credit for what you're not, you're actually doing. And so there's a risk that the contractor's taking here too, because it could be every five of these new structures could require a lot of work, or it could be easy. And he's kind of gambling that it's going to be between that easy and hard probably levels.
And how deep is that rubble? How much underground is it? How far?
It was down pretty close to the bed of the stream, I believe. I don't know if Lori has any feedback on that, but it was there's a lot of rubble there. And there was a railroad right next to the creek here, so I'm guessing there was probably some erosion areas that they just dumped material into over the years. And so people do that. There's no map that shows where it's at. Of course, it's kind of you discover when you do creek work. And we discover this a lot of times when we do creek work.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? I drift across.
Well, according to your picture, it looks like there's one right across the stream from where you're working now.
I mean, right next to the Baxter Arena? Go back to that.
There's
sloughs. Go back to the first picture there, Bill. Right there, yeah. That actually is, we think, the actual slough that's occurred here is pretty stable, Mr. Director Frost. What's happened is there is debris here we need to pull back out of the creek, but there's a big wide berm here, and sometimes the creek will somewhat stabilize itself. But you're right, there's sloughs like this. Probably 50 of them between here and Maple Street on the little patio, but we've got about 10 that are, I call, this level we need to fix. Maybe not quite as bad as this, but about 10 that we need to be fixing up along the patio. And so as this year progresses and as the budget progresses, you'll see money in the budget for more repairs. There's one up at Exarban, for example, right across from Blue Cross building we need to fix, and it's pipe material right in the creek, kind of like Nebraska Furniture Mart. So we've got a lot of work on the little patio with sloughs, and just like big patio, there's a lot of pipe issues. So an older project, they kind of get to the point where they need maintenance, kind of like your car needs maintenance. So unfortunately, that's what we're seeing, I think.
Any other questions or comments? Roll call on the motion, please.
Thank you.
Yes.
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 Brett Conley.
Hi.
Yes. That concludes our agenda. We are adjourned.
Well, we'll jump right into the FEL subcommittee meeting. Call the meeting to order at 7:24. Notification of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the back door and outside. With that, quorum call.
John Conley?
Here.
Ross?
Yeah.
Ludo?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
Chairperson.
Here. Adoption agenda.
Second.
Roll call.
Ross?
Yeah.
Ludo?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. I have before me proof of publication, meeting notice. Item number 6, review and recommendation of the Elkhorn River Improvement Project IPA assessments. Eric, good evening.
Good evening. This is a bit of logistics for the Elkhorn River Improvement Project area. Each year we have an operations and maintenance assessment, and the Douglas County Treasurer's Office asks us to annually review and approve a resolution in order to file the special assessment levy on the parcels in the area of the IPA, which is the last sheet attached. So I think initially you were sent a different form. We've been talking with legal counsel, It was hoped that we could move from an annual reapproval by the board for the same assessment of $20,000 per year to just an ongoing assessment that would automatically update each year, since this is continually occurring. It looks like Douglas County wishes us to have an official resolution approved each year, and so a board vote to allow John to sign the resolution and then actually file the assessment. So that's why there would be some confusion on the documentation that was originally submitted. This fund is in order to perform any repair work that would be needed on the Elkhorn River at kind of the north end of Douglas County. There are several bends where riprap has been placed in the past, and that's to stabilize the riverbank and basically protect the land on both sides from any significant changes in the river or any significant erosion or property damage that might occur there. The current balance in the fund is $158,871.96. That's up just more than the $20,000 that was assessed last year because we didn't have any significant costs during the previous year. The intention of the assessment is to continue annually reapproved each year until we reach a fund balance of $250,000. And so each year we will assess the $20,000 to continue to increase that fund to make sure that we can, in the event of any erosion or any other destabilized areas, go out and fund the repair work, specifically because it does benefit the people directly in the area of the river. So that's why the assessment is directly on the parcels adjacent to the river, based on their proximity from the river. The closer you are, the higher the units of the assessment are. And then in level 2 and level 3, the units assessed is slightly lower. So the recommendation is to authorize management to approve the resolution, to execute the resolution, and then file the special assessment levy for the O&M on this project.
Can we get a motion?
Move to approve staff recommendation.
For a second. Thank you. Discussion from the public, directors. One comment that I could make, I'm out there very frequently, and I'm amazed at how nicely this the current rock is working its way into the river. It's pretty impressive to watch. And we've had some high flows on the Elkhorn, and the rock is being placed in just really quite well. That's it. Roll call.
Ludo?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
No.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Four yay, one.
Thank you. Item number 7, legal expenses, over 110%. John?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Account 0101-4392. As the District General Administrative Legal Fees Budget covers all legal fees not associated with a specific project, general nature to the operation of the district. As of 3/10/16, the expenditures in this account were $100,016.62 with a budget of $90,000, which is 111%. We did break down some of the costs associated with that total. We did have a more detailed breakdown, too, is also attached for your review. It's recommended that we approve the 110% expenditure in this account. It averages about, if you break the 100,000 over the 9 months of the budget, it's about 11,000 a year or 11,000 a month. And so if you're looking for a number to get through June, you know, 3 more months, maybe another 30 or 40,000 should cover it. Some of the expenses have lessened, and that will depend on others, if those continue to lessen, but so I think we're at a fairly good point where we should be right around 130, and again, that's just an estimate. So obviously, we continue to work with legal counsel to continue to try to keep those as low as possible, but we have certain issues we need to address.
Can we get a motion, please?
I move approval of staff recommendation.
Second. Thank you. Comments from general public, directors. Professor Frost?
I see a monthly breakdown. Has he been working?
I think it's bad. There is a monthly
breakdown. Yeah, there is. Well, it's more detailed.
Can you then hire?
Since we, for this particular budget item, or are you talking all the way back to when we started?
When you started. 2 years.
I don't have that information right now.
Could you have it by Thursday?
We can send it out.
Yeah.
Other comments? Hearing none, roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
No.
Brutal?
Yes.
Jeffrey?
Yes.
48.
That concludes our agenda. It is.